This is Captain Rick reporting. I'll be reading from the May 17th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. The first article is entitled, Ready to Graduate, Johns Hill Alumni Walk the Halls One Last Time. Decatur. High school seniors who went to Johns Hill Magnet School took a trip down memory lane on Tuesday. I haven't been inside Johns Hill in years, said Aaliyah Reed, a senior at Eisenhower High School and summa cum laude speaker for her class. Some things are different, but some aren't. The seniors, wearing their caps and gowns, walked through the hallways on all three floors to the cheers and applause of their younger counterparts. The event was the brainchild of MacArthur High School senior Saidi Molina, who rounded up her former classmates through a group chat. She knew her MacArthur classmates, of course, and several of the Eisenhower students, but a couple of students attended Mount Zion High School. With everyone working together, the word got out to all of them. We're all really going our separate ways after graduation, said Molina, who is headed to Maryville University in St. Louis to study business administration. A lot of us are going out of state for college, and we all started here as a family, and we're on our way to success. It just felt good, really good, to come back. The seniors stopped often to hug their former teachers and pose for a group picture in the school library, doing their best to make 17 with their hands to stand for Class of 17. After the photo, the students spent a while chatting and sharing future plans. I kind of want them to realize that they can accomplish a lot and get to where we're at, Molina said. A lot of the kids I saw were like, I want to do that. And it kind of motivates them. Then they start asking, what do you have around your neck? And we explain the honors. And I also want them to know it's like a family. We all get kind of separated, but we come back together because Johns Hill is definitely a family. Reed, who attended Johns Hill from kindergarten through eighth grade, is going to the University of Illinois Urbana to double major in voice performance and psychology. It makes me really nostalgic, and it's kind of bittersweet, Reed said. We're all graduating. Wow, I thought nursing was going to be hard until I heard that, said Maddie Taylor, laughing after she heard Reed's plans for a double major. Taylor is a senior at MacArthur High School and has been pre-admitted into the nursing program at Western Illinois University. I'm pretty excited. Johns Hill principal Rob Prang thanked the seniors for taking time to do the walk through the school and show the younger students their honors, slashes, and medals, giving them something to shoot at. Reed said that was one of the reasons she wanted to visit. I want them to see that they can accomplish something too, she said. The next article is entitled, Planting the Seeds of Service. Durfee students get their hands dirty to help feed others. Decatur. Xanteria Smith knows what it means to need help and for her community to lend that helping hand. When she was younger, her family spent some time living in God's shelter of love, and has also received food baskets from community organizations. I want to help other people and give back to my community because they gave to us, said Durfee Magnet School fifth grader. Several years ago, Durfee students created a food pantry in an unused closet at the high school. They began preparing bags of food to send home with Durfee students, who might not have enough to eat over the weekend, when school breakfasts and lunches aren't available. From there, the students expressed interest in doing more to help people in the community, and fifth grade teachers Heather Heron and Karen Walker helped them research ideas. When the kids came upon information about Good Samaritan Inn, they reached out to the social service organization and set up a volunteer day. The Good Samaritan Inn reaches out to help the less fortunate through daily meals, life skills, and job training programs. Students worked in the garden and delivered the donations, including one to God's Shelter of Love, an emergency shelter for families and single women with children, which is next door to Good Samaritan Inn. We started doing the food bank, and that was every week, and from there we talked about how we couldn't give food to all the kids. We don't have enough to give food to all the kids, Heron said. We wanted to find a way, to give back to more people than just the 20 kids we were able to serve every Friday. So we talked about different organizations and shelters and food pantries and did some research about what they do and who they help. We went in groups and some got to paint and we went through different stations and we went into two greenhouses, Santeria said. They were planting vegetables and fruits. They put in it into a little cup with foam and it grows. They had cucumber, tomato, and different plants. The reliable students, Santeria said, were able to paint vegetable signs to mark the different areas in the garden while other kids did other tasks. I like to deliver food to people who don't have food on the weekend, said Kentrelli Carr, referring to the food pantry at the school. So when we went to Good Samaritan, I was glad we could help more people. The students saw some of the non-human beneficiaries of the garden while they were there. Birds, bees, and bunnies. They made some shiny and noisy deterrents using old flatware and CDs in the hopes of convincing those creatures to look for a meal elsewhere. Good Samaritan used the vegetables from the garden in the kitchen to make meals, and Karen Leah said they serve a midday meal to anyone who needs one 7 days a week, and give diners a bag of food to take with them to make sure they have an evening meal too. That impressed the students. A lot of people don't have enough food. And some people are homeless, and they don't have food to eat or money, and they get to go there, Santeria said. We're happy that people are getting what they deserve. About Good Samaritan Inn. Name for the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke 10, where others passed an injured man, but a Samaritan stopped, took him to safety, and paid for his care. Opened April 12, 1982. Moved to current location, 920 North Union Street, February 2010. More than 1 million meals served to date. contact 217-429-1455. The next article is entitled, Longtime Parks Supporter Huss Honored with a Bench at Airport, Decatur. Dr. Stephen Huss's passion for the Decatur Park District never seems to lose altitude. Huss, whose family has a distinguished history of supporting the district, was honored with a park bench placed outside the Decatur Airport on Tuesday. Jim Schwarz, president of the Decatur Parks Foundation, presented the bench in front of family and friends of the doctor. He honored the Huss family and their contributions to the park district and community. They've been friends with the park district and the park foundation for years, Schwarz said. They have a family history. It is great, all that he's done. The idea of a bench at the airport originated with Huss's office staff. They were wanting to recognize their kind boss, said Judy Locke, a former park board president. He is an understated individual. Huss retired 5 months ago, and as a gift, the seven women employed in his practice presented the doctor with the plans for the bench. The women had an artist draw up the plans and gave their boss a framed picture of it. The style of bench is common throughout the parks in Decatur. If you take a walk in Fairview Park, you'll see benches just like this, Huss said. None of the women were able to attend Tuesday morning's presentation. Three are still working, while the other four retired at the same time as Huss. The staff chose the airport, which is part of the park district, for the bench. Huss thinks the placement may have to do with his hobby. He owns an airplane and combines his love of flying with photography. Huss's father, Royce Huss, was a member of the park board in 1967 and one of the founders of the Scoville Zoo. And the family continues to support the zoo. Huss and his wife, Carol, adopted a bobcat at the zoo's carousel. His son also purchased a penguin, naming it after his grandfather. Huss said he was honored his employees thought of him in this manner and happy with the location they chose. It was a gift from a hard-working staff, he said. He said the bench is a reflection of his career in orthopedic surgery and his passion for aviation. It is a great place to be, he said. It just goes together, flying and park district. The next article is entitled, Derailed Train Almost Cleared. Freight Train Derails Near Elkhart. Elkhart. The cause of a freight train derailment near Elkhart in Logan County late Monday night remains under investigation, but officials said there were no injuries and cleanup is underway. This accident occurred about 10:15 p.m. 18 rail cars on a 77-car train derailed, and there were no injuries to the train crew or the public, and no hazardous materials involved in the derailment, said Union Pacific Railroad spokeswoman Kaylee Height. The train was hauling mixed freight. It originated in East St. Louis and was headed to Proviso, outside of Chicago. Crews, which included 11 heavy-duty equipment units to clear train cars, arrived overnight to begin the cleanup process. By 8:30 a.m. Tuesday, Only 4 of the 18 derailed cars remained on the tracks. Train cars 13 through 31 were affected, some of which were carrying vehicles in transport. 2 other cars carrying NOAA isopropylene alcohol remain upright and had been cleared. All roadway access points into Elkhart are open, but Elkhart Fire Chief Jay Akers is requesting that travel be restricted for residents and emergency crew use only. "Onlookers, please stay away," he said. "There is a lot of heavy equipment. Farmers are asked to avoid bringing large equipment through town for a couple of days, if possible." All streets to Elkhart District were open. There will be no train traffic through the Elkhart area for about 2 days because of about 100 yards of damaged track. "We apologize for the inconvenience to the community, and we are working to safely and quickly clear the site and restore normal operations," Height said. Meanwhile, nearby St. Louis to Chicago passenger service with Amtrak was already under a revised schedule through May 24th because of rail work around Springfield. Amtrak will bus passengers in and out of Lincoln for travelers coming from or going south. Train travelers can expect delays. The next article is entitled, "School Bus Crash Sends 4 to Hospital." Decatur. 4 people were taken to the hospital after an Argenta Orienta school bus collided with a box truck shortly after noon Tuesday. The crash was reported at 12:11 p.m. at the intersection of Brush College and Mound Roads, according to the Decatur Police Department. Police could not provide more information about the crash Tuesday evening. Argenta Orienta Superintendent Damian Jones said a student, the bus driver, and a student's aide from Argenta Orienta High School were among those injured. Decatur Fire Deputy Chief Lyle Medor said the truck driver was also taken to the hospital, but none of the injuries were thought to be life-threatening. The student, bus driver, and aide were treated and released from the hospital with no serious injuries, Jones said Tuesday evening. The bus was en route to the Heartland Technical Academy on the campus of Richland Community College when the crash happened, Jones said. Medor said the impact smashed the front of the truck and the head of the bus. "It was a serious impact," he said. "They were very, very lucky." The next article is entitled, "Police Say Fleeing Suspect Had Pill Spill." Decatur. Police say a drug dealer being chased down a Decatur hotel alley spilled a stash of ecstasy pills in front of an officer. A sworn statement from Decatur Police Officer Ken Duffy said he had been talking to the 26-year-old man Friday morning at the Sleep Inn, 3920 East Hospitality Lane, about a domestic dispute involving the man's girlfriend when he took off running. Duffy said the man ran from the third floor to the second floor hallway, but was apprehended there. "Upon taking him into custody, I observed a large amount of multicolored spills scatter on the floor," Duffy said in a sworn statement. "The combined weight of the spilled pills was more than 30 grams, said Duffy. And Duffy said the suspect had another plastic baggie stuffed with more pills. Police said his room had a box of baggies on the nightstand. He did not state his intentions with the ecstasy, but due to the large amount he possessed and the additional baggies, commonly used to divide and package controlled substances, I believe he had the intent to deliver the pills, Duffy said. The man was jailed on preliminary charges of resisting police and drug possession with intent to deliver. The suspect remained in the Macon County Jail Tuesday in lieu of $50,000 bond. The next article is entitled, Former Girlfriend Supports Zimmerman. Bloomington. Kirk Zimmerman's former girlfriend, who was with Kirk Zimmerman around the time his ex-wife may have been killed, testified Tuesday that she believes he is innocent. Kate Arthur, who previously dated Zimmerman, gave details of her November 3, 2014 visit with the suspect, who is charged with murder in the death of Pam Zimmerman. Arthur said Zimmerman did not answer the door when she went to his Bloomington home shortly after 7 p.m. He asked her a short time later to return, and she stayed until almost 9 p.m., according to her testimony. Zimmerman, 58, told Arthur that he had laid down and was reading when she initially came to the door. First Assistant State's Attorney Adam Christ questioned Arthur for more than an hour during the pretrial hearing over whether the state will be allowed to introduce statements people claim they heard Pam Zimmerman make about her fears of her husband before she was killed. When asked about her current relationship with Zimmerman, Arthur said she is a close friend and supports him and his family. She and Zimmerman had dated for 14 months before Pam Zimmerman's death, adding that the two were no longer romantically involved. Arthur said her evening at Zimmerman's home was perfectly normal and included talk about the next day's elections. Pam Zimmerman's body was found the following day in her Bloomington office. Police estimate that the 53-year-old victim was killed early in the evening on November 3rd. Arthur maintains she had been honest with police and denied she deliberately deleted text messages to keep police from seeing her conversations with the suspect, saying it's her habit to delete electronic messages daily. Zimmerman's former girlfriend also was asked about a recorded jail call she had made with Zimmerman in October 2015 before he was released on bond. She denied telling Zimmerman, "We can just lie," during a conversation the two allegedly had about the legal protections available to a spouse who does not want to testify against their partner. The contents of the call are expected to be discussed further Wednesday after defense lawyer John Rogers has a chance to review a transcript of the call. Arthur acknowledged that she had discussed marriage with Zimmerman before and after his arrest. During their relationship, Zimmerman was very appreciative, considerate, and affectionate, said Arthur. Other testimony Tuesday included a conversation between Pam Zimmerman and a friend in the summer of 2013, in which she recognized the potential danger her former husband posed, according to a witness. Bob Rogers told Judge Scott Drazewski about his warning to Pam Zimmerman that her ex-husband may pose a threat to her safety. Rogers said, I thought he could harm her badly. In her testimony, Rogers' wife, Susie Rogers, recalled her husband warning Pam Zimmerman to be careful. I think it's possible Kirk could snap and kill you. Bob Rogers said the cautionary remark was based on his gut feeling and intuition. He said Pam Zimmerman was a casual friend he knew through their children's softball teams. Rogers said Pam Zimmerman responded matter-of-factly, "Don't you think I know that? I've lived with him." The couple acknowledged that they did not report Pam Zimmerman's alleged comments to anyone until they were contacted by a Bloomington police detective in April 2017. The Rogers are among about a dozen witnesses expected to offer statements they allegedly heard in conversation with Pam Zimmerman late in her 20-year marriage to the suspect, whom she divorced in 2012. Defense lawyer Rogers has vigorously objected to the statements as inadmissible hearsay. Rogers disagrees that the state can use the statements under a legal provision that allows a victim's statements to be heard if it can be shown the suspect killed the person in order to keep them from testifying in court. Greist argued Tuesday that Zimmerman killed his former wife, a Maroa Forsyth High School graduate, to keep her from coming to future court hearings related to child support. The hearing continues Wednesday with several more witnesses expected to testify about from the victim. Following are news briefs for today. In Decatur, St. Mary's golf outing planned. HSHS St. Mary's Foundation will hold its annual golf outing Monday, May 22nd, at the Country Club of Decatur. Funds raised from the golf outing will be matched to the Andreas Foundation in memory of Wayne and Inez Andreas and will go toward a new telemetry monitoring system for the hospital. For more information or to reserve a spot for your team, contact Debbie Seitz at 217-464-5590 or email debbie.sites@hshs.org. Scoville Open to be held Friday. The Scoville Zoo Open will be held on Friday, May 19th at Hickory Point Golf Course. A buffet lunch begins at 11 with a shotgun start at 12:15 p.m. Fee is $600 per team of four and includes golf, buffet, lunch, prizes, music, and an afternoon warm-up party. To receive a team entry form, call Jill Appleby at 217-422-5911 or Kurt Rogers at 217-422-2211. And that's the end of part one for the Wednesday, May 17th edition of the Decatur Herald in Review. This has been Captain Rick reporting. I'll be back with part two right after the break.